Let's double check. There's a flashing red light on the camera, and there's a red light which is not a button on the thingy.
We are definitely recording. And you know what else is bad news? Well, that's not bad news, but you know what else I'm dealing with right now?
You have to come this way into the frame.
Okay, that.
And?
I've also got that, kind of then you got to sneeze, just kind of halfway.
Lingering.
Halfway up your nose, and you're just like, what am I, is it coming, is it not coming? And you're just in this sort of
You're in limbo, you're in purgatory, you're in sneeze purgatory.
Anticipated sort of doom of sneezing. I think it's fading now.
Pretty rough.
But then when you think it's fading, then sometimes it
BAM! And it just comes back at you.
Well, I think it's gone now. It was there for a sec, but it's gone now. Oh, it's just...
It may strike back. You'll probably sneeze into my beer later on.
My nasal passages strike back.
You've had issues with your nose before, haven't you?
Oh.
It's like cocaine.
It must have been. I had a deviated septum, and I honestly can't tell if the difference at all.
Maybe they just knocked you out and then woke you up and they're like, all right, you're all done.
All done.
Was it sore?
Not overly.
I seem to remember we did a podcast during the day because you were recovering or something.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, something like that. Oh, because I had to do it that afternoon.
Yeah, because you were going under the knife.
Yeah, and my turbinates feel a little bit different than they used to. You know your turbinates are?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, of course, he says. Would you like to tell the audience what your turbinates are?
Those things that the wind power comes from.
Yeah, no, well, like
turbines. That's them, wind turbines.
But up your nose. Like, it's this sort of passage, like, they move, like, the thing to the side of the side and it opens them up.
Okay, that's your turbinate?
I thought the turbinate was the bit in the middle, to be honest.
Mm.
So you push your turbinate to one side or you push it to the other. I could be completely wrong. You know what the bad thing about being on the internet is sometimes?
Tell me.
People watch, right? Yes. Which we appreciate you watching, you do. But of the, I don't know, let's conservatively, it's the 5,000 people who watch this. They're probably more this weekend, I'd say.
Fingers crossed.
But one of them is probably
one
like...
One of them is yelling at us to shut up and get to the rugby right now.
Well, one of them is probably an ear, nose and throat like specialist as well. Like,
just shaking his head, for goodness sake. If you don't know about it, don't talk about it.
Well, I had it done and it like, was all about... They kept them talking about turbinates and moving my turbinates and flicking things over. And,
there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you, Mark?
I'm well.
Well,
I want to ask you a very important question.
Is it personal? More personal, the better.
It's a personality question, I suppose.
Okay.
Just because I was stuck in a car park today in a long queue of cars.
Uh-huh.
And it made me wonder, are you the kind of guy, if you get into a car park, do you hunt for a car park close to the door, or do you drive to the far spot, which is a longer walk, but you know there are spots?
I'm in the middle.
Okay.
Like, if it's, I don't mind walking. If I'm like, if I go, it depends on the state of the car park at the time. If I drive in and I can see like tons of cars circulating around.
Yeah.
And I see one open, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take that. That's going to be easy. The people that I get irritated with is when it's absolutely chocker and you pass like three or four decent parks and they're like, no, I want to check out that first row first. And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like you're just playing a little bit of the luck to be like someone's going to be coming out at the perfect time
for you, so you can save this.
And then it does for them sometimes, and they're like, "Told you."
Yeah, that's why I do it.
And then the other 20 times that you're just like,
ugh. "Yeah,
yeah." I had somebody the other day when I was in a car park at after a supermarket shopping,
mm-hmm.
like the big supermarket shop for the week. I had Maddie with me.
Yes, that's your daughter.
Yes, and I was just getting to my car park, and there were car parks around the place.
And someone was waiting for you.
Someone waited for me to unload my entire...
That's what I don't get. That's the situation I was stuck in today. I was in a long queue of cars. I could see 20 meters walk. There's spots for days. And this person was like, I'm going to get this sucker close. So that person had to wait for the other person to get their stuff into the car, back out. Because they've went front ways and they didn't back in. They had to back out, go in, and then this person took like three attempts to get in straight. While there's a whole line of us, and I'm just looking like there's cars over there. You could have parked and walked there by now. What's wrong with you?
Why do you need to be upset about it though?
Well, because I was almost late. I mean, we still got there on time, but I was like, there's spots there, just go for those ones.
Yeah, I guess so. Mine was even worse. Well, no, it wasn't like usually you have your car, you're shopping, and you've got all your bags and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I was at, I had, I never go to Pack and Saves.
Right.
But I had two gift vouchers that were about to expire.
Why don't you go to Pack and Save?
Just never do.
I guess there's not one around here.
Yeah, there's no Pack and Saves. And I went to the Pack and Save in Waira Park, and that place is chaos.
Right.
It's just nuts. It really, it's way too, but it's just too much going on. It's a swathing heave of
Pack and Save is like the budget supermarket over here. Because you pack it yourself and save is what the advertising used to be.
And I forgot my bags. So I forgot my bags. So I had no bags. So I just had a trolley full of loose groceries. And the person is still waiting for me. Getting a 7-year-old into a car.
Yeah.
Getting everything out. Like, and then I was just like, I felt like I should hustle. Then I was like, you know what?
You can wait.
I was just like, I'm not going to stress about it. I'm just going to do it I usually would do it.
Yeah.
And then I had to take the trolley and go, and then come back. I was like, she's still here. All right.
I don't understand it personally.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's not something I would do. Is it a cultural thing? That's what I don't really get. But I mean, when I was in China, sometimes I would take the subway,
mm-hmm.
right? And then if you're on the subway, it's obviously underground. If you want to get back to the exit level, you have to go up.
Yeah.
There's usually three options. There's stairs, there's escalators, and there's elevators.
Yes.
Like some people will just wait for the elevator. Like even if the escalator is literally 2 meters next to it and there's a free run to it, people will just like, I think it's just people. Some people would just be like, nah, I'm going for this one.
They've got their, they pick and stack.
I'm not going with, this is my one. This is the least effort option. Yeah. Even if it takes me longer, I don't care.
I'm the path of least resistance.
Right.
I'm not the most efficient.
Right.
But those things, although it'd be hard to pick what the most efficient thing would be every
time. I'm just like, whichever one is going to take me the least time. Like, I would trade extra effort for less time. Like, I'm happy to walk and drive further if it's going to take me less time.
Okay.
And less stress.
What if the less stress option cost you 20 cents?
That's a question.
That's an amount of money that most people are going to be like, okay. But you're a cheap ass.
I am a cheap ass. Yeah, I don't like paying for parking. That's true.
Yeah. So, but it's going to cost you 20 cents.
Yeah, 20 cents, I could probably deal with it.
You can manage it.
There's a line somewhere, but I don't know where that line is.
50, like, maybe. I think it's between 20 cents and 50 cents, to be honest with you. But I think there would be a point at the end of the year, if, say if you had to go there like every day, you'd be like, okay, so that's freaking, okay, that's a I'm buck.
Going once a week, 20 cents a time, bloody hell.
Yeah. Well, it's $1 a week.
Yeah. I'm going 5 days of the year. Every day. Right.
So it's $1 a week. Ooh. $52 a year.
Goodness me.
Whoa. All right. This is absolute trash nonsense we're talking about. This
Let us know what you're... Are you a waiter arounder at the parking lot? Or are you like me, and you just go for the empty spots?
Or are you just somebody who gets impatient with people talking absolute bullshit while you're waiting for a rugby podcast to begin? You could be that person.
Tony's already flashed the message for the people viewing on YouTube about when the rugby chat started.
And if you're listening on one of our many podcasting platforms,
apologies, you can't see it, but you can skip
just
forward.
Just keep pressing the old skip forward until you hear me saying something like, oh, and then that bloody knock-on chat, and then you'll know that the rugby has started. Unless you just fast-forwarded to that very bit.
And now you're
very confused. Anyway, I'm holding this beer, Mark.
We didn't buy this beer.
We've got another bloody sponsor.
Third sponsor. What is going on?
We're on a run.
We must be brainwashing people
somehow.
It's a
hot commodity, this podcast.
People keep throwing money at us for beer, and we are happy to spend it.
I'm pretty sure there has never been a podcast in the history of society that has been sponsored by a Whangarei dog walking company and a Seattle boxing gym.
Ballard, to be specific.
Yeah, Ballard's boxing gym and Four Paws Run. We appreciate all those lovely people.
Yes.
But boy, oh boy, things have elevated again here. We've got the thumbs up yacht delivery.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, noise is going to be like a foghorn. There we go, found it.
That's not really a sailing thing, but sailboats don't make that much noise, I don't think.
So we've got a, because, you know, these people are captains of boats and stuff like that.
One thing I am loving about us having sponsors is me going beer shopping and trying to find an associated beer. I genuinely enjoy it. And when I came across Captain's Pilsner brewed with...
He can read.
What if that's blue on blue? What does that say?
Oh, that is really hard to read.
Brewed with...
I cannot read that for the life. Brewed
something
with...
and something hops.
Methamphetamine.
There we go. 5%. Why would you do blue on blue? It's like a blue font on a blue background. Captain.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Captain, boats have captains.
Yeah, exactly.
I was beside myself with joy when I found this beer.
Tell me
about Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery, Tony.
Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery. Okay, picture this, okay? Yep. All right? You're in Barcelona, all right?
Barcelona.
Or you might be in Monte Carlo.
Yes.
Okay, or something like that. And you think to yourself...
A port of some description. A port.
You might be in Auckland.
Whoa. We're the city of sails.
We are the city of sails. And you think, you know what? I would love to go on a little bit of a jaunt. I'd love to do some sailing, but... What do you know? I left the old boat back in Mallorca.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, this is relatable stuff. I'm sure this happens to lots of our viewers, and you think...
It happens to me every Tuesday.
I'll see you next Tuesday. And you think to yourself, I wish it was a solution. I wish there was someone who could make my boat magically appear.
Yes. Take it from port A to where I am now, Port B.
Well,
in Europe,
it's a thumbs up for you because that's exactly what Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery can do for you. They'll take your boat, sell it to wherever you are in the world for a fee. You contact them for a quote. They'll tell you how much it's going to cost.
They've got a website.
And they're incredible sailors. They'll take care of your boat. They'll get it to you.
Passionate. Love
it. They'll treat it better than they treat their own kids.
Pretty much.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. They're sailing your boat instead of playing with their own children. So that's commitment to the cause.
Oh.
I saw a video. They got a YouTube channel recently. Yes. Where he was sailing a
duty dog sailing
60-foot classic yacht from Mallorca to Athens.
Yeah, right.
And he's going under a bridge. It's like a beautiful day. And he's clearly having a ball sailing this yacht. It took 13 days.
Holy smokes.
That's a good effort.
You ever been sailing?
Not really.
We had to do sail opties at stuff at school.
You must have gone to a richer school than me.
St. Mary's Primary School in Northcote?
That'll be it, yep.
Oh, okay. And then I sailed in France.
You met Prince Charles, so you're living in a different tier of society.
Yes, really am. A really hobnob with the elites of this world. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the name of the town was in France.
Okay.
It was not where you're thinking.
Okay.
But it was beautiful, it was amazing. And I'm not much of a sailor, but we do live in the city of sails, and neither of us are much yachtsmen. But
Matt from Thumbs Up is definitely.
By the way, he says if you quote 2 cents or 2 cents gets distracted or distracted sports, he'll buy me a hat, and he might buy you a hat too.
Exactly, or a t-shirt, maybe a couple of t-shirts.
Well, yeah, so that's
so Matt bought us some beers. So if you got a yacht. And you're in Europe, and you need it from point A to point B.
It's got some socials and stuff.
These guys, they got Instagram, they got YouTube, and they got a website. The website's got all the delivery details, the quote details.
Is at Sailing Yacht Delivery.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the YouTube website is Dirty Dog Sailing, DAWG.
Dog.
I'll put the links down in the description.
And the website is...
The website's got videos and quote information and all that stuff.
TuYachting.com, and they're spelled
TU. So T-U, thumbs up. TU Yachting.
Thumbs up.
.com.
Thumbs up.
So cheers, Matt.
Thank you very much for these beers.
Thank you.
I don't mind it.
Captain, oh captain.
Oh captain, my captain.
Yeah, thank you for the beers. That's not a bad beer at all.
Mm.
Now, next week, I have to find another nautical beer because he's going to be with us for a few weeks, the old Thumbs Up.
Taking us through to the end of the year, I think.
Exactly right.
By the way, it is fast approaching the end of the year. So if you've got any... We do have the epic season finale each year, which is... It's coming out hot in the heels. We haven't really given it too much thought, but... We'll be giving out a series of these.
The 2CGD.
The illustrious 2CGD. So if you've got any ideas for categories, potential winners of categories, let us know. And
what are some of the ones we've done in the past?
Best Shit Team.
Yes.
The Richard Kahui Award for I'm Not Gay
That's going to become the...
What is it going to be?
There was a player recently that was very much nominated for it. Ruben Love.
But Ruben Love's playing, so it's got to sort of Richard Kahui Award, because Ruben Love could win. He can't win an award named after himself.
Hey? Oh, you want to name it the Ruben Love Award this year?
No, I'm saying that we're still calling it the Richard Kahui Award, but Ruben Love.
One of the nominees is going to be Ruben Love.
Yeah.
He's very popular with the ladies and the men, I believe.
Some fellas, if you're that way inclined.
The captains of this world. No, Tony.
Young man. Yes.
There was a lot of rugby on at the weekend. Yes. Today even. It's Monday here in New Zealand.
And they were still bloody playing rugby.
They were still playing rugby Sunday in Europe.
I caught the first half of the game before work and then the last half of the Wales game after work today.
Do you want to start with Wales or do you want to start with New Zealand?
No, you just go.
I was going to start with New Zealand because we lost and people love tuning in to see for the heartache and pain, especially your heartache and pain.
We
lost to France 30 points to 29. It was 3-2.
Yeah.
We scored a bunch of penalties. We had a lot of ball.
I don't want to get into a position where I'm happy accepting of one black point losses. Loss,
but you weren't too dissatisfied.
I wasn't like it wasn't. I was expecting to lose at least one on this tour.
Right.
It was an epic encounter, but the disappointing thing about it was we looked in control. Like second at halftime, I was not feeling. I was feeling quite at ease.
Halftime, my only kind of surprise was like, why aren't we more points ahead?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind like, this could be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you come out of that first half and it's only a one score game. That might be a problem.
We had so much possession. This is the thing that was worrying me throughout the game. And even when we were trying to get back into it or like trying to win the game, in the 22, we had so much time in the 22.
Yes.
But our attack felt quite blunt.
Yes.
It didn't feel as though we were piercing the line very much, creating a lot of opportunities.
I want to hit you with an unpopular opinion directly connected to that.
Yes, go for it.
So Scotty Barrett's been getting a lot of stick. 5 minutes from the end, why do you take a penalty? I honestly feel like because I don't know if we were going to score a try.
That try that bloody Larkai scored was a screamer.
It was a cracker, but that was in like the what minute? The 8th minute. We're like in the 75th minute, and we haven't looked close to scoring
and
a
then
try.
The other...
Whereas we have looked to be controlling of possession, controlling of territory, and they're giving away penalties. So
it's the other way
I
around
felt
usually.
Like we were more likely to get a penalty than to score a try.
Yeah.
So when we kicked the penalty with 5 minutes to go, I wasn't thinking, wrong choice. I was thinking, I reckon we might get another shot.
I was thinking that we should go for the corner and back up more.
But we don't really have that game with us at the moment, do we?
Mm. Well, it was interesting that they asked him about that after the game. And he said
he'd kind of reflect on it, maybe.
He looked like he regretted it.
But it's one of those captain hindsight ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's been plenty of captains in this world. Like, was it Chris Robshaw at the 2015 World Cup when England were at home? They were hosting it. They decided not to go for a penalty. They went for a maul and they fucked it up. Excuse my language. And then he's, like, still remembered as the captain who did that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't pay off, you always look like, oh, why didn't you do the other one? Like, they almost asked him the question, like, why didn't you choose to win the game? Why did you choose to lose the game, Scott?
Yeah. Oh, but I think if it was at 65 minutes, I would agree. At 75 minutes.
I think it's enough time.
I don't think it is.
Given how much ball we had. I do think it's enough time.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really look like scoring again.
Like I said, it's an unpopular opinion, but I felt like...
Fair enough.
We're more likely to score a penalty or a drop goal than a try at that point in the game. I didn't think we looked like close to scoring a try in the second half. Not really.
Which is weird.
Yes, it is weird.
Because
you were about to say, it's the flip side of what we're used to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, usually we're under the pump, we can't hold on to the ball, but...
We've scored more tries than you.
Jordan will
pull something
out of the
bag. Why is this still close?
Big problem for us is, I think, not having Talia out there, that loses a massive edge.
Yeah, Reece didn't look that flash, and Will Jordan didn't have his best game.
He's getting held up at the end. That was poor.
Yeah.
It was.
A pass, like when we were building pressure, throws a pass to like Caleb Clark. He gets smoked, and it's just like, just go through the hands.
And we had an out over.
Why are you going through a miracle pass?
We had an overlap there as well.
Frustrating.
Very, very frustrating. Sivu Reece, look, really, really game, tenacious player. Who tries his hardest, doesn't do many things terribly wrong.
And looked really good on a Crusaders team, if we're looking back in the year.
Yeah.
A Crusaders team which looked terrible, he generally looked one of their best players.
And he can be a little bit slippery.
Sometimes he's got a wicked kick back in field, four guys like Will Jordan coming back in, but...
But in this, at this level, he's just not...
He's not been there, eh? He's been there in the past.
He's too slow, man.
At the moment, yeah.
He's way too slow.
Look at like, BLBRA.
He had a head start.
He came from miles behind.
He had a 10-meter head start, and like he was like stuck in the mud. He got... He
guessed ALB and Reece.
Yeah, but Reece is meant to be a winger with a
10-meter
head start.
Yeah.
Talia stays in that fight, you know? Like,
probably.
Like, Talia, like, I don't know who's faster, Talia or BLBL.
I think BLBR has probably got better top line speed. But
Talia's incredible off the mark. Whereas Sivu was just stopped. And there was one point where he had a little bit of space on the outside. And like, I know we're talking about the best player in the world, but he got run down from behind by a halfback.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're flying.
And those guys are about the same age. Like, Bielbiere is a youngster, so you can kind of go, well, he's younger, he's quicker, but DuPont's similar age, kind of late 20s.
He doesn't have that explosive speed.
He did have a long injury layoff. Hey, maybe he's lost a bit of power. I can't remember what kind of injury he had.
If you need to be, if you want to be a top line international winger, you've got to have them jet shoes. He doesn't have them. He's
too, I feel like he used to be quicker, didn't he?
I don't know.
That's weird. The South African guys don't seem like Mpimpi and freaking Colby are both in their 30s. They still seem quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's
don't know.
He's probably still slippery. He's still got quick feet. But yeah, just. And, like, nothing against the man. Like, he has been a great servant. But one of the sad things about being a winger is you have a shorter shelf life than a prop.
At least in New Zealand, you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, like...
In South Africa, like, freaking Habana and stuff, you're quite Mpimpi. You're quite happy to play in your early mid-30s. But in New Zealand, once you're, like, a winger and you're 26, we're like Leonardo DiCaprio. We're like, wait a minute, girl.
Yeah, yeah. Rock-a-thon.
Bring me those teenagers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That hilarious joke by... What was it by Ricky Gervais saying Leonardo the Irishman was so long that Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriend was too old for him by the end of the premiere.
Yeah.
So, but not to ping it all on Sivu. Like he has a lot of game. he's puts himself. He does everything he possibly can. I'm sure he's a real team man, but just not there now.
Well, to be fair, I mean, it was weird. I saw a few comments after we lost. Some of them were like, "Yeah, I got beat by a French B team," and I was like, "What the? Like, sure, they're missing a few guys.
We were missing heaps.
We're missing a few guys. So that's just. I don't think any team which has got like freaking Antoine Dupont starting, Malvaka starting, like Flamont starting. I don't think you're like, well, that's the B team.
Yeah, losing.
Both sides are missing. We're missing Talia. We're missing a bunch of our Lucys and whatnot. We're missing like Tokiaho. They are missing. They got no internet. They got no Cyril Bai. They got a bunch of guys.
I thought losing Geordie pretty early on was a big hit.
And we lost Finau within like a minute.
Within 90 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, Lakai, I thought
Lakai played really well. I don't think the comment like I lost the French B team is fair. There's also another one that was like, that brings you Kiwis back down to earth. I was like, Were we getting maybe there's some pockets of social media that were getting a bit arrogant after like two wins, but I don't think we were like number one in the world, baby.
Yeah, we're doing it. But you know what's really been I appreciate, and it makes me feel like I need to eat a little bit, not humble pie, but like
you didn't say we were going to win this one. I said we were
I'm not worried about that. We're going to get things wrong. We make these calls. I said Fiji was going to win, and you said Wales was going to win.
Yeah, that's right.
But
predictions are a mugger's game, as Michael Checker has said.
I've had a ongoing love-hate relationship with the South African fans for a wee while. But what I've been blown away by is when we beat Ireland, when we beat England, when we beat Ireland, the comments are like, right, you go All Blacks, well done.
Yeah,
you
they love
from
it.
South Africa, that's good. They want a world where they're number one and we're their greatest rival. They love having us as their greatest rival.
Yeah, they want us to be good, which is great.
Which is nice. I think as New Zealanders, we just want to shit on everybody. Like, we just want to be so good that there's, you know, the rest of the... This is how we grew up. Like, the rest of the world was
like
here.
Like the 2015 era.
To be honest, like, the 2017 was... insane that the team that beat the Lions, they shat the bed in a quarter final. I'm sure Irish teams can understand that. Against the French in the 2007 World Cup.
Hold on, wait, the Lions, you mean the Dan Carter Lions won? That was 2005.
Yeah, but a lot of that squad went to the 2007 team, so that was, you know, that team was primo, man.
Yeah,
that was rock solid, but they just had it. They choked it and shat the bed. They lost bugger all games. Even in 2003, leading into that tournament, we beat Australia by freaking... We put 50 points on Australia that year. John Mitchell's team was smashing everybody back then.
Yeah.
So we haven't had any real down periods. We've had a couple of bad World Cups.
Yeah, we were the team that was dominant outside of the World Cup, but then would always choke.
Yeah, yeah. But then we were the team that was dominant and won World Cups between 2011 and 2015.
Yeah, cycles.
But it's
we're just down to earth with everybody else.
We're just with the pack.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, ooh. But we're just driving to get up there. And now you can't argue that South Africa's the best team in the world.
I did see some fans who were like, what is it, like some Northern Hemisphere fans who were like, what is with all the Southern Hemisphere shit? Like, I don't want to see England win. I hate seeing England win. Whereas, like, we're like,
go Argentina.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite funny.
No, the reason I go on for the Southern Hemisphere teams is because we don't have the audacity with one flipping World Cup out of all the World Cups, you know, to say the rugby's greatest championship.
Oh yeah, that's just the marketing one.
Yeah, but people like me, it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So by the way, it's me giving the finger
for your listeners.
For the listeners, I just gave the finger. So it's just like, oh yeah, the greatest championship, pretty greatest rugby, and the Six Nations is fabulous.
Yeah,
fabulous.
You've gotten into it, oh captain. Oh,
yeah,
captain.
I have, but I do like a little bit of, oh yeah, how great is that Six Nations.
Well, back to the All Blacks losing.
Yeah.
Didn't have that much ball.
No.
But they scored more tries than us.
Yeah, there was that huge try by Biabia.
The turnover ball one from Biabia was pretty sweet. Yeah,
they came out of the second half with a more...
The Boudéon one was like a maul try, right?
Yeah.
They got one from a maul, which is what we lack.
Yep.
And Bouros got one from a nice build-up. So that's what was kind of a bit concerning to me, that like the Lakai trice was genuinely quite nice.
Oh, it was stunning.
The Roygaard one was a little bit like, I mean, a bit like the BLBRA one, and that it's a bit of a turnover ball, individual brilliance, turnover ball, punish them before they can do anything about it.
Who had a better game, Roygaard or DuPont?
Oh, I think Roygaard. Yeah, but they took him off.
We got one.
We'll take that one. Oh. But I mean, DuPont ended up finishing the game at like first receiver, so that guy's just a freak.
First receiver, you're illegal.
Oh, whoops, sorry.
First receiver playing in the halves. I thought your Roygaard played well. I think Radama didn't play badly when he came on, though.
He's getting a lot of shit.
Is he?
People are like, oh, Radama looks slow, he's terrible.
I thought he looked sharp than he did the week before.
There's very much a lot of, like, you're only as good as your last game, and, like, we're winning, and then Radama comes on, we lose, so, screw you, Radama.
I don't think it's Radama. I thought Radama played really, really well.
There's lots of factors at play.
One of the things...
Like you said, though, did look really good.
One of the things that really excites me about the All Black performance was, and actually recent games, is our defensive line-out.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. Like... We're pilfering so much ball.
Is it maybe right now the best one in the world? Maybe.
It's so good.
England's is pretty good as well, but ours is very disruptive.
Yeah, yeah.
We're giving lots of teams problems at line-out time.
With, I always get Finau and
Va'i.
Va'i, that's a thank you, mate. He's a menace.
He's having a career year, for sure.
Line-out time. Yeah, he's great. I thought Satiti was a little bit more quiet than he has been in the past.
Yeah.
I don't like having ALB out there for for extended periods of time. I think, I think he's a great player, but I think maybe this level we're looking for our next option there potentially. Is that a bit harsh on ALB?
I don't know. I don't think of all the areas where you would look at the All Blacks, I don't think we've got any midfielders at the moment that are like, ah, he's World 15 worthy. You know what I mean? Like Jordy, Rico, ALB, none of them are like...
I think Jordy's got something to his game when he pulls it all together.
Yeah, he's not had his best year.
I think Rico's disrupted one. Rico's solid.
Solid, but like Rico went from being like one of the best wingers in the world to like a solid midfielder. So,
well, that's what we do with wingers in New Zealand. We bring them into the midfield if they want to extend their careers.
That's right, because they get slow.
But what's his top line speed like?
I think it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know that he slowed down a lot, but it's harder to see him in space.
Because he used to be able to do that thing where he would just gas people.
On the outside, yeah.
But you never burn them. You hardly ever see him gas anyone. He always just pokes his nose through the line a little bit. You know, makes the gain line.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, very rarely ever goes backward.
Yeah. But like, he's not got the BLBRA speed right now. Like, that guy was a freak.
Yeah.
And he was there everywhere defensively as well. Like,
he was massive, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the French deserve to win that game in the end.
I think so. Well, we had three tries to two, right?
We had so many chances to win it, yep. But we just didn't take it.
Almost like a reverse of that England game that we won, right?
Yeah.
Like, we lost. Like, they kicked the penalties, we got the tries, and we ended up sneaking it. This is just the reverse.
Yeah. I was hopeful that all the way to the end that we were going to somehow get it across the line.
When we had to go length of the field, I was like, no.
I believe in fairy tales. I was like, something could happen.
I feel like it didn't look likely.
Mm. Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart?
30-21. Well done, France.
Congratulations, France. Three in a row against us.
Yes.
Thanks for sending your B team down next year so we can get a win, hopefully.
We can smash you. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
Somebody play that back.
Yep. Yeah. That's not going to be on the internet forever.
Yeah. All right.
There were other games. South Africa played England.
So it was a cracking game. I quite enjoyed it.
A lot of people are giving that one a bit of stick, saying it was ugly, but I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it.
It was like, some pretty silky skills.
Things look bad, England. Let's be honest. You've lost three games in a row
To us. They lost to the Wallabies and they lost to the Box.
And they lost to us two times before that as well.
That's right. Down here in New Zealand.
So you've had
played some pretty good teams. The one you should have won is probably the Aussie one, like in terms of like rankings and stuff.
But I'm going to talk about that Aussie team.
Yeah, we'll get to them in a second.
Yeah, that Aussie team they're sneaky right now with the quality they've got in that team now. They've just come together very, very nicely. Anyway, you pushed the South Africans for long, long periods of that game. And a couple of bounce here, a bounce there, a call here, a call there, and you could have very easily won it. And all would have been forgiven.
If you think about it, right, the tries, like one of the tries the Box scored was a double charge down.
Yeah, like exactly.
That one is great defensive pressure, but if you're reviewing that game, that's when you're like, well, that's easy to fix.
Yeah.
If they don't get that one, it's a lot closer game than this.
The South Africans.
And that freaking Grant Williams, geez, he's quick.
Yeah, cut them open like a can of tuna.
Mm.
He's something else, eh? He's really, really good.
That boy play.
But the South Africans are just so relentless in their pressure. Like, they do not give you a moment at any stage. Like, clearing a ruck, like taking in a line out, doing every aspect of the game, they make everything as difficult as humanly possible for you. Like, you have to be on at a world-class level constantly in everything you do.
Or you get punished.
And the moment you just don't execute to a high degree, you're going to get points.
It's funny because the coaches often in their press conferences talk about being like a few percent off, and like, I always thought it was kind of bullshit, but I genuinely think like if you're like 5% off,
you're gonna
get punished.
That's 40 points almost.
Almost like that, yeah.
So the South Africans were smothering.
Yeah. And then you got a few moments of breaks like Chisel and Colby.
Yeah.
Freak.
Yeah. There was that one when he got through the line. And I was like, try time. And then Stewart who brought him down or who's not a great defender?
He gets stepped very easily.
He's so good in the air, but
he's so
crap at defense.
Yeah. People compared him to a barge. Like
turning circle. He's got the 20 circle of the Queen Mary.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it doesn't take much of a step to step Freddie Stewart. Like he's a big dude. And there was like, I remember there was one play where the Box kicked him the ball. I was like, why are you kicking him the ball?
Yeah.
Stop kicking him the ball. And then like he just
gunned it.
Ran it like straight. Like sometimes guys like they look up, they check the options, they kind of canter.
Yeah.
Freddie Stewart was just like, rawr! I was like, get in there, son.
Yeah.
Like that, I love seeing that kind of play. But then there's other times when it's like someone just does like half a step and he's just like, stuck in the mud.
That's weird, eh? He's like got world class sliders.
But he put all his stats into like aerial ball and like front line, like running, but like turning. His agility is zero.
Yeah, he's like what a kid would have done with the skill points on making a computer. Yeah. I'm going, oh, geez.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter. He just has zero agility and zero turning and zero defense.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. But I really thought that England played bloody well for long periods of that
large
game.
Large periods of that
like
game.
Like that team.
Marcus Smith keeps pulling the strings.
I think one of the biggest problems they've got is their halfback seems a bit shit.
They keep changing the halfback up. They played Spencer the last couple of weeks, and this week they played Van Porkley.
Like, Marcus is not getting quality ball. Like, he's not getting on a plate. He's always catching up here, jumping over his head. He's just not getting good front. Even when they've got good front foot position, he's having to stay on a spot, catch it behind him, and then the back line goes. It's just, you're the opposite of what Aaron Smith or right. Aaron Smith's pass. It just... Yeah, seems pretty poor, really, in that regard. But they played with so much heart and determination. They looked like they really, really, really were desperate and wanting it. But you were just playing the bloody world champion.
The first try they scored was nice. Like, slight home out on the wing, got one, kick into the space. It was great. And then crowd gets behind them. Scored like within 3 minutes or something.
They haven't
stupid.
Given up in any of those games. Mm. They've been in positions to win it. They've been within the margin of refereeing errors and the margin of the bounce of the ball in pretty much all of these games. So,
but Borthwick's getting so much grief. It happens with England coaches, though.
Yeah, they had like the media. I've got this really... English mate, and I just said, you're unlucky," and he was like, "Nah, disagree. We're shit." Bunch of players who think they're world beaters, they'll pass it, should never put Borthwick in there. And this is the guy who played relatively high level rugby as well. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Hey, you know how I've mentioned like how occasionally I've used the word unlucky and people hate the word unlucky. And I was like, what's wrong with the word unlucky? Yeah. Somebody used the word unlucky the other day, or used the word like lucky the other day.
Yeah.
On one of my videos, where it's like, oh, New Zealand were lucky against Ireland and lucky against England. Now your luck's run out. And I was like, fuck you, we were lucky. So I got triggered by the word.
No, I think we were lucky against England.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say it's within a couple of kicks that should have gone over from forward.
Yeah.
Like, where forward usually, that's lucky. Yeah, usually I don't think that. I think there was a 50-50 pick'em against England. I think England played better than Ireland did against us.
Yeah.
And then Ireland, I think we just beat them.
Yeah. Like, you're saying, oh, you're lucky Ireland didn't show up in that game. But I thought, well, we have a part in that.
Yeah, we played the game against them.
Yeah.
Both teams showed up.
Yeah.
And said, who's lucky today? Are you feeling lucky?
Oh, luck of the Irish ran out.
Yeah. I think there is an element of luck. Like a lot
it's
of these,
a factor, but yeah.
A lot of these games can go either way. Like
sometimes it is just the bounce of the ball, but the box won that one by more than a try. You know, they were never looking like losing that one to in the second half anyway. Once they got up to more than a try, it was like, nah, they probably got this.
Yeah.
They brought Pollard on. And it's like, let's secure this sucker.
Yeah, Marnie can't kick, can he? The kicker, he set up a nice try though.
He did set up a nice try. They had a couple of average kicks early and then he put up a nice high ball, which I think Aronson grabbed and, you know, they started contesting well.
I just remembered something I was bitter about the All Black game.
What?
We looked like we were dominating in the scrums.
Scrum, yeah.
We got no reward for it.
Yeah.
There were a couple of calls in that game.
Sometimes that happens. But if you got 60% of the ball, you can't score more than two tries, something's wrong with you.
But it would be nice to have got some reward for a massive scrum.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Quite literally. You know what? I'm going to make a bold call here.
Bold!
England will win the Six Nations.
Hmm.
Ireland are my team, but I think they're on the downward slope and they're on a bit of a downward trajectory and they're losing coach.
Yeah, coach Andy Farrell's going to go to the Lions.
Yeah, so...
There we go.
I think this is the year they drop off and maybe rebuild again next year.
Okay.
And I think it's either them or France. Okay. Right now.
I haven't checked the draw to see
Irish friends.
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
Was there anything else about England South Africa?
$4.50.
Oh, yeah. Chuck a few bucks on.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to, but you could.
Okay.
I
put money on New Zealand.
They've had...
With an 8.5 lead, so...
All right. We were winning by 11 points in that
one
game.
1 point, so I was feeling pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, well. Win some, lose some, eh?
There you go. I won that bet, so... I gave us an 8.5 head start. So,
right. Okay.
I also put money on Wales with a 14-point head start. That didn't come in.
Did you this week?
Yeah, I didn't put $5 on them.
Jeez.
I didn't trust Wales more than $5.
That is a mug's game, but then with a 30-point start.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Do you want to get to them?
Yeah, can do.
They got hammered.
They suck.
They suck. Sorry.
They're not great.
What the main thing that troubles me about this one is, like, if Wales lose...
Can we start with the positives?
No. Okay. Like, if Wales lose to South Africa...
11.
Like, 52-20, right?
Yeah.
With a squad which is like... The Welsh squad is a bunch of, not only, but a lot of youngsters. Average age is like 25.
Who are getting the mentally are scarred,
like,
right now.
The Boks are like double World Cup winners who are 30 years old. Like, if they lose that game, I get it. But the Aussie squad is equally as young, yeah, very much as inexperienced. And they just had the most, like, tormenting World Cup campaign of their lives just a year ago, where Wales put a record score on them.
Let me throw some names at you. Rob Valentini.
Yes.
Fraser McWright.
Very good.
More players. Tom Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Wright. He's good. Swahili Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Needs a little bit of tackle technique going on.
A little bit of shoulder charge.
Angus Bell.
Yes.
That, by my count, is... And their halfbacks, what are their names?
McDermott. White. Yeah.
Okay. Gordon. They're pretty good. Mm. So I reckon you've got 5.5 world-class players right now in Australia. Mm. Australia, they are on... things are clicking for them. They really, really are. Paisami, Ikitau, good players.
The thing is, those guys that you mentioned, like the likes of Wright and Bell and the Lucys, I mean, McRae's been in good form for, like, the Valentini in particular. Those guys have stepped it up a gear in the last, I don't know, season.
But they look...
They've always been good.
But they look world class.
But Valentini, like, genuinely looks like, man, like, if there was going to be an Aussie player nominated for World Player of the Year this year, he's not going to win it, but if he got a nomination, like, he'd be up there.
Yeah.
So that's not something you would have said last year.
Fraser McWright ripped up Super Rugby this year and missed a whole of the Rugby Championship, didn't he?
Pretty much. He came in at the end, I think, game or two.
I think they've completely deconstructed themselves to rebuild themselves.
But that's the thing. Like, both these squads are young.
And Will Skelton.
Both these squads are young.
I know, but like...
And the Aussies taken the young squad and taken it up a notch, whereas the Welsh are just...
They don't have those players, man. There's six, we've talked about six world-class players.
But they weren't world-class when Joe took over. When Joe took over that squad, you weren't like Valentini.
But they had that.
Like McCripe, maybe. But you weren't like none of those guys.
Will Skelton you were.
Yeah, Will Skelton, but he wasn't even playing at the start of the campaign.
Tom Wright, you weren't saying that about.
Tom Wright, fuck no. You'd be like, he's inconsistent. He shouldn't even be the Wallaby starting fullback.
But they're looking that way.
They are now.
Yeah. But you can't, you name...
That's the thing.
There's no the number 14, John Anderson, Johnston.
Tom Rogers.
He seems all right.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Getz hasn't taken the guys who've looked good in patches and got them elevated them to that next level. I don't know what Schmidt's doing, but whatever his treatment of the guys is going right.
It's one of the great things. You know Craig Bellamy? Is that a name that you know?
League player.
League coach. Yes. Really great Storm. League coach. One of the things he did with the Storm, one of the great things he was always able to do was he'd get all these random players from all over Australia, New Zealand, Queensland, wherever, and they might be journeymen or something, and then they'd come to his team, and then you'd be like, oh my God, no one knew how good he was. And they'd
Jamie
look like,
Joseph
look,
did the same thing with the Highlanders.
They'd look like superstars.
Jamie Joseph, I remember one season, signed Tony Woodcock, he signed Brad Thorne, and he signed Martin Onu.
Yeah.
And the Highlanders were awful that year. Then the next year, they got rid of all these guys and they got all the journeymen who couldn't quite get a chance anywhere else. And they won Super Rugby by playing to a style that fit that team.
Moneyball.
Basically, they played Moneyball.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the good coaches, the best coaches can do.
It's what the good guys do.
Whereas I don't think Getz is getting it. Like, you've been the guy hard on Getz for the last long.
Oh, I think he's shit.
But I don't get why that's 52-20. Their squads are the similar ages. I don't buy that it's just like, well, the Aussies have got better players. Because that's not something we would have been saying 12 months ago.
You know what was weird? I looked at, like, all the highlights seem to be from TNT or something.
Right.
Which sounds like
That's the broadcaster.
Sounds like a wrestling brand. Anyway.
Pardon me.
Very gassy.
You're a gassy man.
You're a gassy fellow, aren't you?
Full of hot air.
full of shit. What was I saying? So, but anyway, I saw the post match, and they were, and all of them, you know, Welsh fans commenting, saying, "Oh, Avila forgets. It's really the players. We just don't have the cattle. It's not the management's fault. Like, it's not Gats's fault." Like, there was all just, and I just couldn't believe it. It was all just sticking up for Gats, sticking out, because they got all this, like.
Whereas we are always, the coach is shit. Fozzie, you suck. We've got the best players in the
exactly.
world.
Maybe Razor wasn't as great as we thought he was. Exactly. You know, like, we first hit on the chopping block.
Yeah.
And, like, we gave bloody Gats freaking 6 games in New Zealand, and we're like, piss off your shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I don't know. He seems to not, whatever is happening, it's not working. And the buck stops with the coach.
Yeah, ultimately. And the coach's job is to take the players that he's got, whether they're, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, and to get the best out of those players you can.
11 losses in a row.
Yeah, including like Fiji, man.
Yeah, Italy, Fiji.
They lost to Georgia a couple of years ago. Like,
they haven't played in those 11 games. In those 11 games, they haven't played South Africa or New Zealand.
Well, they got hammered by South Africa earlier at the start of
July.
Oh,
they're very, very
just outside in June, I think.
Okay. And then they're...
They got South Africa this week.
That's a safe bet, isn't it?
I can probably put all my money on the box to win that one, surely. Far out.
Well, what a time to turn around, Wales fans. It's not going to
happen.
Like,
I'm not saying that Wales, with the team they've got, should be like a top 5 team or something, but they shouldn't be getting beaten by the Wallabies 52-20.
No.
The Wallabies got one win in the Rugby Championship.
They lost to Argentina by double digits. Big time.
Yeah, they got put 67 or something points put on them.
By Argentina.
Yeah, they scraped by Argentina one game and then got flogged.
Can anyone
the next.
Stop resting on Argentina now as well,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah, I think so. Do you want to talk about Argentina?
Okay, we're just... Anyway, just on the Wallabies, though.
Okay.
They've got some real quality players coming through now. I'm so thrilled that Aussie Rugby's on the rebuild. But don't fucking beat us, would you?
It's just one thing I'm struggling to get my head around. It was only, I don't know how many weeks ago, when they were at the bottom of the Rugby Championship, when it was just, we don't have the players. You know, we don't have the players that Africa's got. We just don't have the depth. Like, the same thing. True. We don't have the cattle. And now we're like, oh, this guy's class, this guy's class, this guy's class. This guy's a world player of the year. You know what I mean?
Tom Bright, though.
I know. He's just having... He's come really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's
all
I'm saying.
We are just talking about human beings, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, human beings.
Yeah.
Argentina played Ireland. And it was close. 22-19.
Argentina. It reminded me a lot...
Ireland kept scoreless for an entire half.
Played really well at this
only
first...
Only one other team has been kept scoreless by Argentina this year. And that was Uruguay.
in a half?
In a half of rugby. Everyone else has scored at least 3 points and a half against Argentina this year.
So there you go, Ireland. You're down there with Uruguay.
Yes.
Well, you did win the game. They came out of it into the game very, very hot. They played really, really well for that first 25 minutes.
Yes.
Put on points nicely, played direct.
Crowley was looking the business.
Was bossing it. Was playing direct, playing cohesive.
They scored like 2 tries in the first 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, Crowley got a droppy. Well,
there was that little controversial moment with the Moroni yellow card. They got a try chalked off and yellow carded, and then Ireland went bam, bam.
Yeah.
That yellow card was a bit harsh. But I could...
Oh, the Bellamy one?
The Moroni.
Which one did he do? Oh.
He kind of like a bent tackle. They were like, is he bent?
But he clocked him right in
the head. Clocked him, but it was like he was pretty, like Crowley was low.
Yellow card all day.
Yeah. It's usually the role reversal.
Oh, no, yeah. No, but Sarivis. If Sarivis are red, for God's sake. What's his name? Sarivis from, is that from?
You're talking about Karevi for the Wallabies. That's the thing. The Wallabies, I didn't even mention it. The Wallabies had a red card and they still won 52-20. What the fuck?
How are you going to do time codes? You're going to have to put their flying outrage.
Sorry.
So what's your answer?
They scored 3 tries during that 20 minutes.
Let's go back to Wales. I feel like you've got unresolved issues. Okay. What? Do we cut Gats now? Come on, man. You know the answer.
After his stint at the Chiefs and how badly things are going with Wales now, I'm getting on that train.
Oh, jeez, man.
You've been, he's a shit coach for ages.
For young.
And I've been like, nah, he's going to get it right. He's playing the youngsters. They're going to get it right. They're going to get it right. Joe is getting it right. They've been in such similar positions. I'm not convinced he's going to get it right. But I don't know who is going to get it right.
Remind me, how many times did a Warren Gatland coached Wales beat New Zealand?
None.
He's not world class. World class coaches beat other world class teams.
There you go.
How many times did he beat South Africa? A couple of times?
Don't remember.
Not often. He won a couple of the greatest championships of all time. Well done. Like, he took them out of a bad spot.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think in his first stint with Wales, he took a bunch of guys which may not have otherwise been like world-class players,
mm-hmm.
and made them like household name players. Like, I think some of those guys are kind of turning on him in the media saying like, oh, we had a great squad back in the days. We were winning despite Warren Gatland not with them. But it's like, come on,
there was,
man,
a particularly nasty post from, I don't know who it was, what, one of the former Welsh players.
Yeah,
I quit, he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You'd think I heard from him. He's just a self-serving piece of shit.
No, I don't think you can fairly say.
It's a bit yuck, that stuff playing out in the media.
Yeah.
A bit yuck. I've smashed two of these beers. They're quite nice.
Go grab another captain if you want.
Do you reckon?
Up to you.
Three captains.
Three captains.
Three captains.
We've still got more games to go.
Okay, better get another one then. I've never got through three beers in a pod.
Shall we revisit Ireland, Argentina? Shall we restart? I'll restart while you go grab a beer.
Okay. The level of disrespect of what I wanted to do right now. I don't know if this podcast was survived, but I've got one. You know, I've got one brewing. You know what I mean by I've got one brewing.
Okay.
And I just had an immediate thought. I was like, "Oh, this is."
Do you want to go do that?
No, not a shit. I mean, a fart.
Oh, okay.
And my thought was, "Oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to pass Mark on the way."
Just like me with that Chinese kid.
Yeah, and then I just fully crop dust you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then move on. But I won't do it.
Okay.
Just out of respect for you.
Oh, thank you.
But I am really thinking about
captain,
it.
Captain, my captain.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Ireland won on... Jesus. Just gonna...
Okay.
Ireland won on Friday, so it feels like a long time ago. But they beat the Argentinians. They beat them 22-19. Ireland came out of the blocks firing. There was a yellow card to Moroni. He tackled Crowley. Kind of hit him high, but Crowley was braced low in the tackle. It still got the recording light on, I think.
What are we talking about?
Remember, Moroni hit Crowley.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crowley was kind of braced. No, I think he had the ball, didn't he? But he was kind of...
The ball was gone out of
maybe late, but...
Yeah.
He was quite bent in the tackle.
We had clocked him, right.
But he still hit him in the head.
Yeah.
So, but he gets yellow card, the try gets choked off. Ireland punished with two. It's like, hey, Ireland are back.
Yeah.
But then Argentina still kept themselves in the game.
You know what it really reminded me of? It reminded me of the All Blacks versus Argentina in Wellington. Where we got off to an early lead. He thought, okay, sweet, business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't. All Blacks in that game and then Ireland in this game couldn't quite deliver the
killer blow,
you know, that fatal blow to just be like, put the game beyond doubt. And the Argentinians just stick.
The breakdown work was phenomenal.
Yeah, really, really good. Really, and they show that they can power through adversity. They've got some. They've got quality of a really good team. Contepomi.
I'm pleased with Contepomi.
He's done a great job this year. He really has. I think we need more like world class teams. If we're gonna,
this is the thing I'm talking about. How I'm getting the best out of players thing, right? Like Ledesma had this almost the same lineup that Contepomi's got only a couple of years ago. And they used to just play, let's just kick the ball away and just tackle the house down. And they did get the odd victory. They beat us with Ledesma in charge. But they never like got the best out of the talent that they have. But Contepomi seems to be tapping into the talent. Like, they got such good backs and he's actually using
them. Oh, they're so good. What is it, Malia?
The fullback. He's in classy form right now.
Jeez.
And their first five, Albanos, he's just lighting it up as well.
He is great. Like, we always, like, if you talk to a New Zealander who has a casual awareness of rugby, they will say, Argentina, big meat-eating pack.
Yeah, big scrum, but it's not that
anymore.
Not
that. It's actually like...
Scintillating backs.
Lightning backs. Mm-hmm. Beautiful footwork.
Yeah.
Fast feet. Ankle breakers.
Yep.
Beautiful to watch.
That's right. You know, very fun team to watch.
That's that Malia try was just something. Him and Nashvili. Oh, I like that.
Nashvili, the Georgian. Oh, there's some good fullbacks this week.
Good fullbacks.
This is true. Is it concerning for Ireland that they go through a whole half of rugby at home and can't score any points?
The answer is yes. They're in a weird spot. Like, they're not.
Are they in a bit of a rut?
Yeah, they are in a bit of a rut. Are they going to get their way out of it? Maybe. Are they declining from their peak? Yes. Do they have a very old team? Yes.
It is. I think apart from the box, it's the second oldest. So, you know, it's the,
yeah,
just behind the box in terms of age.
They've got a really old age profile.
Mm.
So I don't think... They've still got some really quality players. I think they are definitely missing Sexton at this level.
Crowley, as we started to mention, did start the game. He got a try. He got a droppy. He seemed to be taking the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, but when things start to go wrong, what do you do then? Mm. You know, when you start to get flat, you know, ball on the back foot, when you start to have to defend, you know, aggressive attacks and stuff that are coming at you, like... Mm. What are you going to do as the general of the team to be able to stem the flow?
Mm.
And that's when the intelligence and age-old wisdom of Sexton would come into play, and he'd be able to like do a play here and a play there just to settle everything down and get them back on track. Whereas you don't quite see that anymore. You know, like
they did have a couple of debutants in the game. They had Prendergast, who came on as their first five.
Good-looking rooster.
Yeah. And they had one of the props come off the bench. I forget his name. But they both looked all right for the limited amount of game time they got.
Yeah.
And you got Ken Healy equaling Brian O'Driscoll's record.
Well, like, done, 133.
37 years old.
133 tests. He's not that much younger than us.
No.
He's a bit younger.
Well, the Argentinians guy had Cordello on the bench, who's 40.
He was born in 1984.
Yeah, either 4 or 3, late 83, I can't remember, but
can't
yeah.
Be at, no, you can't be 1983 now.
Late 83.
Oh, can you? Oh, you could be still, because he could be
I think it's 84.
He could be just about to turn...
41. I think it's 41. 84. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Which is about our age. Slightly younger.
Yeah.
You know, I've told you recently, I've been watching some James Bond movies recently. Like, I've never watched the old James Bond movies.
Yeah.
And I watched, like, Roger Moore, his first James Bond movie. Because, like, it starts with Sean Connery, then it's George Lazenby for one. And then it's back to Connery.
Was John Lazenby? Was he?
George Lazenby did one movie.
Was it bad?
He's not a very good actor.
All right.
And
Sean Connery is just shits on all of them.
Yeah. But then Roger Moore's first one. He's old, I looked up his age, because you know how there's this thing where you look at old people, like from generations ago, and they look old. You look at like a 20-year-old from 1800, and you're like, he looks 50. Like, I looked at Roger Moore, and I was like, fuck, he's old. He was 45 when he did his first Bond movie, which is kind of old to be first Bond, but I was like, that's not that much older than me.
Yeah, no.
But he looks so old.
Does he look like it?
He looks... The movies are quite fun, but he just looks old. There's all these young chicks, and he just looks like an old man.
Really?
Yeah. And that's his first one. I've only just started the Roger Moore ones. I'm like, he's only going to get older.
Yeah, right.
First one, he's 45. Anyway, that's a bit of a
distraction. You enjoying the Bonds? Did you see the Bond where he plays golf?
I don't think so yet. No.
No, the Sean Connery.
But he comes back. I haven't finished the Sean Connery ones, but he does one at least.
If you had a
finished Moonraker.
What about you? Have you taken your
golf? No, I haven't taken. I haven't done any of that yet. I've been too busy. November's very hectic.
Oh, it's so busy. Month. Watching all this rugby.
All this rugby, yes. Yeah. But yes, Argentina in a good spot, much like Roger Moore. And
Don't.
Or maybe no. Maybe Ireland is the Roger Moore. They're a bit old looking.
Yeah.
But they're still getting the results.
Yeah. As a don't freaking sit on, sweat on,
sleep on.
Sleep on. Don't Don't sit on Argentina.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Argentina. I keep saying
good thing about them is that's two, I know they lost this one, but that's two good weeks in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very
good. Ireland, that's like you had a good start. They're very good during yellow cards. Like they punished us during the yellow card. They punished Argentina during the yellow card.
Yeah. If they, imagine if they bet bloody, imagine if they bet Ireland this weekend and then they've got France next weekend.
I know, very tasty.
And you'd just be like, oh,
yeah.
What are you going to do next, guys?
Mm.
Amazing.
Did you watch any of Scotland against Portugal?
Not a red cent of it.
59-21.
Oh.
9 tries to 3.
59, similar to the Wales Australia game.
It was 9 tries to 3. It was 60,000 fans.
That's nice.
Do you think if we hosted Portugal at Eden Park, we would sell at Eden Park?
No.
I don't think so either. So that's a credit to Scottish fans.
Think we'd...
They had a higher attendance than Wales Australia.
Was it not packed at Wales?
No, there was only 55,000. It was just quiet.
It was weirdly quiet.
Very quiet. But yeah, Scotland, there was their B team. They changed the entire team barring the fullback.
Yeah.
And they ran in some nice tries. Portugal. One of the moments of the game, though, was the Portuguese guys brought on the bomb squad. They brought on a couple of props and absolutely demolished the Scottish replacement props.
Oh, really?
So that was like, ooh. Scotland, yeah, there's a bit of a...
So the Scottish replacement props for the B team are like... Seven.
It's like their D team guy props.
They're like 7 and 8 on the
depth chart, basically. Yeah. And then the Portuguese B guys smash them, I suppose. But yeah, it's still going.
It's still going. We're a little bit paranoid after last week.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I wonder if this will have the 10-second audio break.
Oh, I can't.
Maybe not. But now Scotland scored some nice tries. Both their starting props got tries. Darcy Graham played and got a try. The other winger got 2 tries, Aaron Reid. The Portuguese guy scores. Portugal just play fun rugby.
That's nice.
They love to chuck it around.
That's good.
It was a fun game to watch.
Where are they ranked? You're the ranked guy.
16. Something like that. Top 20.
Top 20 of the world. Okay.
Very fun team to watch. And it's good to see Portugal getting a game against a top tier side, you know, like a top 10 in the world. What is Scotland? 6th?
Yeah. So what's, and then, so they're 16 and.
Something like that.
Georgia's 11th. Is that right? So who are the ones between them?
Yeah, Samoa's up there. Japan's up there. They might be 15th. Wales is 11. Georgia's 12. 13, this is painful. 13, Japan's 14, maybe Samoa's 13, maybe Portugal's 15?
Right.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they're a fun team.
Yeah, they are a fun team. It's good to see a little bit of growth in that part of the world.
Yeah, but a good game to get the Scottish guys some experience. They rested the big guns. Portugal got a game against the top team. It was a good crowd, so I think a good win for rugby in that one. And the Kiwi got man of the match, the fullback Tom Jordan. No relation to Will Jordan.
Well done, Tom.
He scored the most magnificent spectator try of the game. Like, the referee blew the whistle way back in the other half, and just like a dozen guys just kept playing, and like scores, and he's like celebrating.
No
try.
Come back.
That and the Portuguese props.
Yeah, the highlights of the game.
I mean, there's 9 tries for one team and 3 players. There's a lot of highlights, but yeah.
And finally.
Italy, Georgia.
I watched the highlights of this.
That game was crazy.
Niniashvili,
the fullback for Georgia is crazy. Like, Georgia lived off like 20% possession and territory the entire game. They made like 220 tackles to 60.
Because I didn't know that, because I only watched the highlights. Right. But what are they not doing to get more ball? You need the pill to win games.
Firstly, it was like kick and duel. Mm-hmm. Italy was like, let's just kick it to Georgia. And Georgia is very good at that. Like, Italy were getting pushed back into their own half. So Italy just were like, all right, let's just go through phases. And Georgia were just like, we are not going to contest any breakdowns. We're just going to keep a full defensive line the entire game. And they just did that again and again. Wait for Italy to make mistakes.
So they just...
They committed to a full defense. Like, there's nowhere to go.
So the player makes the tackle.
Which means they also have no ball.
Nobody's getting a turnover.
Nobody's getting a turnover.
No one's getting a penalty.
No.
No one's pilfering.
But what they did in that first half was just take their chances. Like, Italy would muck it up. And eventually, Italy, after 20 minutes, was just like, let's just go for three. They took a three. Yeah, and then Georgia got, like, one chance.
Well, in the highlights that I saw, that there were a lot of Italian, like, close cracks at the line being held out.
Yeah. A lot of, they got held up early.
So then I was like, one of these will be a try. And then they got three, and I was like, oh. And then the first highlight you saw was
line out move, the Georgians, they ran this nice set play, and Tabu Tards at the winger goes over, you're like, hello.
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah. And then the Italians got a penalty, and then the Georgians got a nice another try, and Nenias really great, like, just kick return.
Oh, that was insane. Like, same just footwork. Lightning speed. Just beautiful, exactly. Beautiful line, great footwork, great swerve.
Yes. Based on his first half.
Setting up the captain, eh?
Yeah, the halfback. Based on his first half, he's probably like the player of the week, but
he's in the team.
Second half, not so much.
So what was the problem?
They didn't have much ball. Second half, like, the Georgians, just when they did have those chances, they mucked them up. Yeah. Like, they would kick it out on the full. There's one time they finally got a breakdown penalty. It looks mistouch. It's when you're living off 20% possession, you need to be clinical when you actually do have the ball, and they just weren't in the second half. So Italy got a penalty try.
But it was still tight, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the penalty count was 15-6. But
the penalty try was from a deliberate knock-on, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, one-handed, goes for an intercept. It's a gettable one, like a similar Severis got an intercept like that. It's very gettable, but he just doesn't get it.
Yeah, the knock-on rule is always, the deliberate knock-on is a bitch of a one, really. Because I think 95% of those bloody deliberate knock-ons aren't sitting out with somebody going, I'm going to knock this
slap
on.
It down. Yeah, most of them on one day are probably gettable.
Yeah.
But they just don't get it.
Exactly. If you screw up an intercept, you're probably going to get a yellow card.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes it pretty brutal.
Yes. Yeah. That's the way it's officiated. But, I mean, it's a good result for Georgia. It's a moral victory for Georgia.
Mm.
We got the Italians next, so this is not encouraging for that game.
Because
the Italians played basically the stronger side.
So we'll shit that in.
We should.
Yeah. Well,
do you want to get to next week's fixtures?
I guess that's what we got next, really.
We kick off the week Friday, so our Saturday morning, France-Argentina. That is probably the game of the round.
France-Argentina.
I reckon that's the game of the round. That and Scotland-Australia, but yeah.
Scotland Australia is pretty tasty, actually.
Yeah, but France and Argentina, it's not going to get the same billing over here because it's two non-English speaking countries. But I mean, that's like number four in the world. Five or something.
What time is that on?
Oh, 9 o'clock in the morning or something. 9:10 in the morning.
Sunday morning.
Saturday morning. It's Friday game over there. So the French will be on
this
the
first. Bloody, yeah. This first Saturday, I don't have to go to dancing.
There you go. France will be on a 6-day turnaround, so maybe advantage Argentina with the rest, but France are at home.
France are the favourites. Yeah. But do you think, last week you balked at I gave Ireland a 70% chance to win that game.
I thought Ireland would 100% bounce back, full bore. I was justified for the first 20 minutes.
I think 70% chance was a relatively fair. Yeah,
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, yeah. I think France probably won this game as well.
Okay.
But
I like to disagree.
Argentina... Don't sleep on them.
No. Second game is Saturday. That's Ireland against Fiji.
Ireland will win that game.
Yeah, I think so.
Hopefully Fiji put in a good performance.
Yes. Fiji kind of struggled past Spain at the weekend.
Did they really?
Yeah. I mean, they beat them comfortably enough, but they had to come from behind. So.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Wales are playing South Africa.
How would Wales go against Spain right now?
Yeah, Wales should probably be playing Spain, but they're playing South Africa. Like, I think they're much closer to Spain on the rankings than they are the box. Like, I think it's number one against number 11 compared to, like, number 11 against number 17 or something like that.
It wasn't that long ago that a PVAX coach side beat South Africa in South Africa.
In South Africa, that's right.
Jeez Louise.
Second Wayne PVAX seems a little bit premature right now, doesn't it?
Seems like a bad move.
Maybe it wasn't Pivac's fault, but you're picking South Africa for that one. Rassie will, in all likelihood, shift things up, give guys. He's been doing the depth building like crazy this year, and they're still number one in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Three in a row.
Do Wales get within 20? Do Wales get within 30?
They get within 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Within 30. So they improve on their result against their Wallabies.
Yeah. Yeah.
They even had a red card, man. They had a red card. And conceded like, three like, tries in the red card.
If they get dicked by 40 points, I'm not going to be surprised as well, by the way.
Yeah. We are playing Italy.
We'll win that.
We should win that. If they only beat Georgia by three, we should win that.
Yes, we should.
The other, like I mentioned, Scotland, Australia, that's looking tasty.
I'm giving that to Australia.
Wow, you think they're on the form?
Yeah, I really like Scotland too. I like that Scottish team.
That's a exciting looking game.
So then it's Ireland the game. So they're trying to do the Grand Slam, aren't they?
Yes. They're talking it up. I mean, South Africa's on for it as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Although the difference is the teams you play, isn't it? So Australia's played England.
Yeah, you have to play the four home
nations. So they're playing. They've beaten
England, Ireland, Scotland,
beaten
Wales.
England. They're playing. Oh yeah, they've got Ireland on the cards. Whereas South Africa's not playing the same teams. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a Grand Slam.
Yeah. So they're going for the Grand Slam.
Hmm.
England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. Inside, outside. Something. Puppy dogs tails.
There we go.
Yeah.
So you're picking Australia?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you going?
I'll lean Scotland.
Oh.
Just to be contrary.
You usually you'd lose these when we go head to head.
Well, last week I didn't because you said All Blacks, I said France, so.
Okay.
There you go. Edit that in, motherfucker. last one, England against Japan. Steve Borthwick needs to win that one. But that's Eddie against Steve. That's quite a fun one.
He's gone.
Eddie Jones back at Twickenham.
I think I did.
Or Allianz Stadium.
Oh, God. It's a shame it's got Allianz now, isn't it? No, that's definitely going to be won by our friends, the English.
Right.
Yeah. Quite comfortably, I would say.
There we go.
Oh.
Japan beat somebody.
I've got a little bit of a buzz on the last half.
There we go. Captain, my captain.
Oh, captain, my captain. I've been a bit quiet for like the last 10 minutes. I was like, I'm just going to listen to you talk for a minute. Well, look, that is a whole lot of rugby there. And now, please, for the love of Pete, if you're still here, you're obviously a fan, because why else would you listen to us blathering idiots for a long period of time? Give us some ideas.
Nominations.
For
our annual 2CGs.
Like, you could even have, like, the ability to provide, like, whole categories. If you've got a good category and we're like, that's a good category, we'll put it in. Because the 2CGDs are coming up. This is the third annual. Would you believe it? The third annual 2CGD.
We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, the third.
We were doing this since we were in our 30s.
Exactly. We're much older now. Okay, so the third annual 2CGD. How would you like to describe this beautiful bus or this figurine or whatever you want to call it? There's
it's,
the
it's magnificent.
It is magnificent.
Spectacular even.
Yeah. It is
quite a sight to behold.
It really is. It's a good thing we've got I don't know, about 40 of them ready to go.
There you go. Ready for those players to be shipped out, for those that can't make it in person, but I'm sure they'll all want to be here.
Yeah, it's a who's
it's a grand event.
The parking on the road gets a bit crazy.
Yeah, I know. Remember we had, was it Jack Morgan last year? Yeah, we told him just to ease off. Don't bother.
We told him to stay out of frame.
Stay out of frame. It's fine.
We probably won't get into frame, any of them.
Yeah. And also go check out the socials of our sponsor.
Yes.
Thumbs up, Yacht Delivery. Thank you for the captain's Pilsner. Made in
New
Zealand.
We appreciate it. And we'll be drinking your booze again next week.
I'll have to find something else nautical themed.
Looking forward to seeing what you come up with.
I also look forward to going beer shopping. It is the moment of my week.
Beautiful. All right, fabulous. Thank you very much for watching. What is this podcast called?
It's 2 Cents Gets Distracted, a rugby podcast. Oh, wait, did you watch Tyson against...
No, I was actually backstage at my daughter's...
the dancing.
Dancing. I was one of the chaperones, so I'd take care of some of the kids.
Yeah.
And I tried to watch, like, I think I watched the first round, and that was the only round where Tyson landed a few things.
Yeah.
And then...
It was shy.
You watched it?
I dodgily streamed it. I wasn't paying for that.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, I don't have Netflix.
Alright, fair enough. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Shit. But, it was always going to be shit, wasn't it? 60-year-old man.
John Jones beat Stipe Miocic in the weekend.
Cool.
Anyway, Mike, well done.
Take care. Thank you, folks.
Fantastic. Howdy-da.